think I'm ready, aren't I? Have I forgotten anything? Glory to God. If I have, tell me after church. You will anyway. I might as well ask you to. So I'm joking about that because I'm really bad about announcements. I forget things once in a while, but I think we've got it all done. This is the beginning of 2011. Can you believe that? If you can, you're way ahead of me. I was talking the other night. I remember as just a young boy, I was sitting on my bicycle at the end of a country road, looking off into the vastness of nothing because there were just mountains and hills where I'm raised. And I thought, this is incredible. 1960. I can't even imagine 1960. It's 50s is what I'm used to. And some of you are saying, well, I can go back further than that. But time goes quickly, doesn't it? You know, we're really supposed to be flying around in cars now, not driving them on the ground, according to everything I heard. When I was a young man, there was a book called 1987. You remember that? And it had us pretty futuristic. And I will be honest with you, I think I'm as shocked as some of the old preachers that I grew up around that we're even here. Just me? I thought by 2011 the rapture of the church would have taken place. But God has things that He needs to get done. How many believes that? And this is one of the greatest things that I can imagine. The Lord showed me this a few months ago, that when you were born, everybody get your pointer out. Get her out. Right? You got it out there? Let me see it. Now go like this. I was born in this generation. You see, God brought you here for a particular reason. You didn't choose when you were born. It's not just the process of reproduction, but God in His providence brought you to this generation for a very strong, powerful purpose. How many believe that's true? And I do believe this with all my heart. According to the Scripture and the Word of God, that we're coming extremely close to the coming of Jesus Christ. Yes. Do you believe that? Yes. I believe we're very, very close to the coming of Jesus Christ. And when I hear that, a lot of people think that that's a sign to just give up, go buy some canned food and get in a cave and wait for Jesus to come. But that's not what we are. We're not survivalists. We're victorious. Amen? And if there's ever a day when God, by His providence, that caused you to be born in this generation, listen to me. God caused you to be born in this generation for a very strong purpose. Don't waste the purpose of God in your life. Don't do that. Don't waste the purpose of God in your life. Because if God tarries to another generation and time continues, their purpose will be as important as yours, but there's no more important time than the present right now, and God's placed you in this generation. And our duty before God is to find out exactly what God wants us to do and how He wants us to do it in our lives. Now, I'm starting this first Sunday in the year 2011 telling you that the very theme that God gave me for this year, and I don't like that word, I'll come up with a better thought, but the truth, let me say that God gave me for the year 2011 is an ongoing truth from the year 2010. When 2010 began, God showed me the process that He was going to begin the church going through with the wheat and the chaff, where we were going to start removing, God was going to start removing chaff out of our personal life. Now, I want you to know that from the point that God gave me that in 2010, the beginning of 2010 to this point, God has removed a lot of chaff out of my life. Am I the only one? Anyone else that can say God has in your life? There's a few of you. I want you, if you didn't have chaff removed from your life, let me give you a strong indication. Are you looking? You've got chaff to remove. If it hasn't happened yet, it's still there. The only thing is, don't miss the opportunity of God, because God's opportunity is the only thing that will cease to exist in your life. Every one of us have chaff in our life. Every one of us have areas of improvement in our life. Can you say amen to that? And God's improvement in our life is what it means by that. He's drawing us closer to Him by removing the chaff out of our life. And he's also removing the chaff out of the church of God. And I'm talking about worldwide, how God is taking the unnecessary and leaving the necessary. Now tonight, the second part of these messages tonight is a message you don't want to miss. Some of you will. Some of you just decide to stay home and then wonder why God didn't speak to you when the day of hard time comes. It's because God had a word and you weren't here. I'm telling you, attendance in the house of God is extremely important to the believer. If you believe that, say amen. So I'm asking you to be here. Tonight, the second part of this message is new grain. Everyone say new grain. And that I'm going to talk to you about what new grain will do. When the chaff's removed from the grain, I'm going to show you the potential of the grain and what God does through it. Now, there's a Hebrew phrase that says this. It says, Baal Shalasha. Say that with me. Baal Shalasha. That means this, Lord of multiplicities. And it was used in a bad way in the Bible, but God turned it into a good way. And I'm going to teach that to you tonight, what God does with good grain. But this morning, let me start the new year with this very thought, that how God has spent a year now removing chaff from grain in our life and polishing the grain, and where the grain is new, strong, powerful, clean grain to be used for the process of God. He grinds that grain and he makes bread, and that bread becomes food, spiritual food for ourselves and for others. God also gave me the word for this year, and if you haven't been here at a service from last Wednesday, New Year's, or tonight, or this day, let me give that to you. And that is this, that for the year 2011, God has given me this truth that this is the year of release. Everyone say release. And this is a year where God is going to release his glory to those who have realized that they have the need to separate things that are unnecessary in their lives in order to have polished, to be a piece or a grain of polished grain for God that has no chaff attached to it, that God is going to begin releasing some things in your life spiritually that you're going to qualify for because of your desire to serve him and your desire to have more of Jesus. Now, if you've got all of Jesus in your life that you need, you won't qualify for that because you don't understand that the process that we call sanctification is an ongoing process of moving closer and closer and closer to the likeness of Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. Do you understand that great doctrine? And so as we move closer and closer and closer to the likeness of Jesus Christ in our thoughts, in our actions, in our deeds, in everything we do, here's what's going to happen. As we move closer, we're going to have to start taking some things out of our life that don't fit the likeness of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Now let me ask you, why would anyone want to keep anything in their life that would be contrary to the nature of Jesus Christ and then call ourselves a follower of Jesus Christ? It really doesn't make sense, does it? But sometimes, I know this, there are times in our lives that we don't really realize that we're actually not aware of things that we're doing or saying or the way we're acting or being that are contrary to the nature of Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit, and that's what he began in 2010, it's not going to stop. It's going to continue to the coming of Jesus. And I'm as sure of this word as I am that my heart's beating inside my body right now. I'm confident of this word that separation is going to continue until the coming of Jesus Christ. It began in 2010. God, every year as we come rapidly closer to the call of God, where he calls us out of this earth into his glorious presence, as we come closer to the return of Jesus Christ, we are going to have the opportunity to become greater in the kingdom of God by our attachment, by our love, by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, there are going to be some that do and some that don't. I've been studying here lately the sower. When the sower sows seeds, and where some falls on rocky ground or the pathways, some falls in the area where the rocks and the soil's shallow. Some falls where there are thorns and weeds. And some fall where there are good, solid ground. And I've been reading where seed is thrown and where seed lands and how it reacts to its situation. And I found out that I want this piece of grain here, this grain that's polished by God and has chaff that's being removed daily in my life. I want to fall on good soil. How many say amen to that? And that good soil is the Word of God. And that good soil is a personal commitment in your life to follow Christ. Now let me explain something to you that I said last week, and I want to say it again. There's only one thing, there's one thing that's going to separate you from the release of God in 2011 in your life. And when I talk about the release of God, I'm talking about the release of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm talking about the release of deliverance in your life, where God is going to deliver you from things that have held you captive. Now, I want to make this very clear to you. There are many Christians today that are walking around in ankle chains that don't have to be there, but they won't take the key and unlock them. If you believe that's true, say amen. Ankle chains of all kind. And some of them have even grown to the point of justifying the ankle chains that they're dragging around as a child of God. Things of the past, things of the present, and things that you don't believe you can overcome. There are some of you that are sitting here today that say this: I have done my best to keep my tongue in my mouth, but it won't stay there. But I'm going to explain something to you from the Word of God. God's able to control your tongue if you're able, if you're willing to do it yourself. Preach something good. Preach something. Make us dance. Preach something. I'm telling you, we're getting there. But we've got to get to the point where you can. Amen? Have you ever gone to church when you just felt dead and dry? Some of you say, I'm here now. And everybody else is praising God, and the pastor says, raise your hands, and you're going, I ain't going to do it. Nobody's going to make me worship God. My friends, listen to me. If somebody has to make you worship God, you haven't got any worship in you anyway. And your attitude's wrong if you believe that that's a contrived worship when I ask you to. I'm giving you an opportunity to praise the God of all gods, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And anyone who doesn't understand that is opportunity spiritually dead. But when you get that opportunity, have you ever been in church though and just go ahead and raise your hands and just like, well, God, I don't feel anything, but I'm doing it. You ever been there? We all have, haven't we? Every one of us have been there and said, God, it just doesn't seem like anything there, but God, I'm going to do my best just to pray. Let me tell you something. Even in sacrifice, when you begin to raise your hand and praise God, it's not contrived when you do it that way. It's just saying, God, I don't have any feelings. There have been many times where I've walked up here to preach, and I haven't, I mean, I feel like I haven't got a nerve ending in my body. There's no feeling there. And I have to go back to the Word that came to us this morning, that had come to me, that came to me standing right down here, because I'm going to be honest with you. When I walked in here this morning, I didn't particularly feel all tingly and goosey and all happy and all full of joy and bubbles and everything. I just kind of said, God, here's the truth. I've studied your Word. I've prayed. I've fasted. I looked at your Word, and it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. So whatever I speak isn't going to be my Word. It'll be the Word of the Holy Spirit speaking through me. And you know, that's an enormous difference than someone thinking that we contrive worship. My friends, listen to me. Praise Him, for He's worthy of praise. Didn't have a thing to do with how you feel about it. It's the fact that He is God. And when you worship and praise God like that, something strange will begin to happen. The breeze of the glory of God will begin to flow in this sanctuary. And worship that will happen will become contagious. How many believe worship is contagious? I was standing right here on a Sunday, on a morning during the Holy Spirit conference this year, and I was standing here, And Angie Todd was standing here and Dr. Tim Todd was here. And we were praising God. It was a morning service. And as we were worshiping God, Angie Todd, the Holy Spirit came on Angie Todd. And Angie Todd came right down here and without anyone noticing, because she's little anyway, she knelt down on her knees right here in front and began to worship God. And as she began to worship God, God broke her and she began to pray in the Holy Spirit and she began to weep before the Lord. And as I was standing by her, all of a sudden the presence of the Almighty God moved from her over into my life. And I began to feel the presence. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it doesn't matter how you feel, if you'll praise me, my worship is contagious. It will move from person to person. And as I begin to worship him, others begin to worship him. And it wasn't by might, and it wasn't by power, and it wasn't me, or it wasn't Angie, but it was the contagiousness of worship before God. So when you have a chance to lift your hands in this church and praise him, lift them up and give glory to the Almighty God. Lift them right now and tell him you love him. Praise him right now. His worship is contagious in this place. And as you praise him, as you worship him, God's Spirit will move in your life. You see, God said he would give the release of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in this year in a new way, a new release in some of your lives that it hasn't happened before. A release of deliverance that I've been talking about. Deliverances. Ankle chains that are on the life of the believers. The church, if you could hear in the spirit world today, the sound of chains in churches, you would hear when people all stand up together and move, it would be a clanking and a clamoring because you're being held back. How many of you ever felt like you're being held back spiritually by something? Let me do that one more time. One more opportunity to be honest with me. How many of you ever felt like you've ever been held back spiritually? Dragging this thing along. Not having the feeling. Sometimes even having the feeling, but you can't move too far because that holds you back. God said this is a year of release and deliverance. If you believe it, say amen. He said there's a release of ministries that's going to take place this year. Ministries in your life. Some of you know God's given you things to do. And it doesn't mean pulpit ministry. It might not mean preaching or teaching ministry. It may be the choir. It may be teaching. It may be the ministry of intercessory prayer. It may be the ministry of encouragement. It may be the ministry of giving and you haven't given like you should. It might be the ministry of deliverance where you pray for people. It may be all kinds of areas of ministry, but ministries are going to be released into the lives of people that are willing to open their heart to God and say, I'm making myself available for the release of God in my life this year. There's going to be the release of finances this year. I've heard it before, Pastor. And God's taking care of you, hasn't he? You're the one that put the figure down for God. You're the one that said, God, I have to have this much by this time. And you're still here. Whew. We don't see that miracle. I've done it. Anybody here? I've done it. I told God specifically. Got to have this much by this time, God. And you know, and you own the cattle. And, well, I quote those scriptures. You got all the gold in the world. It's yours anyway, God. And funny thing happens, many times that time comes and goes and I'm still here. I'm just not happy about it. Because he didn't give me as much as I wanted when I wanted it, the way I wanted it. And God's saying, why don't you trust me? Do you know that in every trial you go through in your life, God has a purpose to learn to trust him more and to grow through the trials? But I'm going to tell you something this year. And you say, well, we'll find out if you're true. It isn't me. I'm not stepping out of limb. I'm going to tell you, God's already talked to me about the end of this service. I might as well do it right now. I want to know, I know we prayed for the sick, but I want to know how many people here this morning that need a physical healing in your body or someone very close to you. You know, I want you to stand up right now. Hurry, don't wait. These are people that need physical healings in your body. All right, here's what the Lord spoke to me earlier, and it wasn't with goosebumps and tingles. And that's why I had to say, God, are you sure? Are you sure? He said, it's not you anyway. Just speak it. At the end of this service, I'm going to ask everyone that's standing up right now to start a line from this line, and I'm going to personally pray for every one of you that God's going to heal you, and he's going to heal you this morning. If you believe that, say amen. Because let me explain something to you. This year, God is going to release healing in this house. And I'm having you stand up now for this reason. I want to start building your faith right now. Because in a matter of 30 minutes, and everybody laughed out loud, in just a few minutes, it won't be long. God's going to deliver you and heal you. Paul, he's going to touch you this morning in the name of Jesus. You hear me? You hear me? You're hurting right now. You're back. God's going to touch you. Listen to me. God's going to heal you this morning. But I want you to have that faith right now. Lift your hand up to him right now and say, Father, I thank you that this is a release of healing. Say it, Lord. There's a release of healing this morning in the name of Jesus, and I thank you. I receive it. God, I prepare my heart for what's coming. In the name of Jesus, I praise you right now. God, it may not be the way we've done it in the past, but a healing is coming in Jesus' name. And I glorify you for this new day, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You can sit down. Finances. God is going to release finances in the life of the believer, but I'm going to explain something to you about the finances. Why hasn't God done it already? Because God's been teaching and changing, and he's been restructuring our mind in regard to finances. See, sometimes when the answer comes, we just grab it and run with it, and there's no change in who we are. But when there's a battle and a struggle sometimes, after we gain the blessing, then we look back and we say, Father, I'm not going to think the way I used to think with finances. How many can say amen to that? So God's timing is always more important than the actual event. Now, let's go into the scripture, and let me read a couple scriptures to you this morning that sets the plan. There, in 2 Kings chapter 5 and chapter 6 primarily, there is a story, a true story, an event that occurred in the life of the prophet Elisha. Everyone say Elisha. Elisha was being used by God because God had released the anointing of God, not the anointing of Elijah. A lot of people think that Elisha received the anointing of Elijah. He didn't. You don't receive another individual's anointing. The anointing that God gives you is from God alone. Amen? When Elisha went to God and asked for a double portion, he said, I want a double portion of your anointing you gave to Elijah. Or I want a first son's anointing. And so Elisha received the double portion. And in that double portion of anointing that came, or the inheritance of the first son, in that anointing, God began to release power in the life of this prophet. And he began to act on the release of God. Now, if I don't, as your pastor, if I don't act on the release of God, we'll never see the release of God in this church. How many believe that? How many don't believe it? You see, if God releases the things that he told me he's going to release in his church, it's my responsibility to act on that release. So it's not me walking out on a limb. It's not me out there just kind of hoping God's going to answer. It's me acting on the release of God. When God released a double portion to Elisha, he had to act on it. The first thing he did was he took the mantle, struck the Jordan, and the Jordan parted, and the prophet saw what was going on, and God began to release. The axe head floated. There was a stew made for the prophets, and it was poison. He threw some cornmeal and some flour in it, and it became pure, and God began to use him. And then the king of Aram decided he was going to wage war against Israel. And so he would set ambushments. Now let me explain something to you. These are foreshadowings of your life today. He set ambushes up to where every time the king of Israel would go to a certain place, there'd be an ambush. But God spoke to Elisha and told the king of Israel, said, don't go there, don't go to these places, because the king of Aram has an ambush set up for you. Listen, one of the releases God is going to give to you this year that are hungry, and you say, well, how do I get these releases? I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you to surrender your life, pardon me, so completely to Jesus that none of you's left, only the light of God in your life. Pardon me. He said, there are ambushes that are set up. And these ambushes will take your life if you don't listen. But God spoke to the prophet. He gave the prophet discernment. The release of discernment is an enormously important thing in the life of the believer. And one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit of a believer is discernment. Believe the enemy attacks your throat. Bind that in Jesus' name. Elisha would tell the king of Israel, don't go to these places because there's going to be an ambush against you. And sure enough, the king would send a guard out to see, and there they found the Armenians waiting in every time. And the king of Aram got mad about this because he thought he had someone inside his court that was snitching to the Israelites. And so he brings his men together, and he said, who among us is disloyal? And all of the leaders said, no, it's none of us. But one of those men stood up, a ranking man that had listened around. He said, here's the problem. The problem is there's a prophet in Israel, and that prophet's name's Elisha, and he even knows the words you speak in your bedroom. He understands everything that's going on, and we can't get around the prophet's word. And so here's what the king said. If we can't get around the prophet's word, let's silence the prophet. Get it now? Let's silence the prophet. Let's do something that will cause him not to be able to teach release to the nation of Israel through the ministry God's given him. Let's do something that will shut his mouth. Let's do something that will quit him. We'll put him in captivity. What kind of captivity? Let's try to destroy him with our tongue. Let's try to destroy him with finances. Let's try to destroy him with his health. Let's try to destroy him in his family. Let's try to destroy him. If you're sitting here this morning and you've been attacked and you think I haven't, you've lost what little bit of brain you had. We've been attacked in every possible way because the enemy wants to shut the mouth of the prophet. And he'll do anything he can to do it. He'll surround him. He'll overwhelm him with a force. But God has given a word to the man and woman of God in the church today that's righteous and holy before God all over the globe, of people that are looking for the power of the release of God. And he is not going to allow the prophet's voice to be quieted. He won't do it. God said, I'll take care of you. Now, Elisha, the Bible says, was in Dothan. And the king was told that, and so he sent a large group of people, a large force, go out. This is chapter 6 of the 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 13. Find where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men to capture him. The report came back that he's in Dothan. So then he went, sent horses and chariot and a strong force. Not the whole army, just a big, strong force. And then went out by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots surrounded the city. And he said, oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Let me explain something to you about this servant. This servant's name was Gehazi. If you look and study the life of Gehazi, Gehazi sat in the middle of the greatest miracles the Bible's ever recorded, but never one time allowed that to enter him. He stayed surface instead of spiritual. The sad truth about 2011 is there will be people that hear and see and witness the move of God in this service, but they will stay neutral. And neutrality always creates criticism. And criticism creates malice, and malice creates destruction in the life of the individual. Gehazi saw with his eyes what was going on. He didn't want the release of God in his life. He was after something else. He's the same man that followed the prophet, followed the leaders and the generals of Naaman, and said, hey, look, Elisha, my father, had a change of mind. What he was really saying was, he's nuts. You've offered us gold and silver, and you've offered us beautiful Babylonian or Syrian garments, and he's nuts. He's not taking the good stuff. He has no desire for the things of the world, and he's crazy. Well, we can have both. And he follows Naaman, and Naaman gives him the gold and the silver. He goes, hides it, and he walks back into the very house of Elisha. And Elisha said, where you been? And he said, nowhere. He said, don't you know that wherever you went, God spoke to me and showed me what you were doing? And at that point, leprosy attached itself to Gehazi. And you can study and try to find out any place you want in the Bible where he was healed, but I don't see where. For the rest of his life, he was leprous because he would not accept the release of the Almighty God. He was in line to be the next Elisha, but he had his priorities over God's. My friends, listen to me. Surrender this year. Surrender this year to God. Don't worry about anything else other than pleasing God. And God will release in your life this year. Gehazi saw this mounted army against him. He had no idea what they were going to do. And he goes to his master, the prophet Elisha. And he says, look at this. Look at these enormous amount of people around Dotham. And Elisha looks, and when he sees all of it, he says, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Listen to me. One of the chains that you need to get rid of in your life in order to have release is fear. Because fear is a blinding agent. Fear is a deafening agent. And fear is a hard, heartening agent. He was afraid. But Elijah had the enormous power of God on his life. Elisha. And Elisha said this. Don't be afraid in chapter 6, verse 16 of 2 Kings. The prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, oh Lord, listen to this. And some of you need to be praying this prayer today. Open my eyes that I can see the reality of God in my life. You see, you can't have release if you only focus on the enemy's power, not the power of God. And this man, by the help of the anointing of Elisha, the Bible said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He started to understand. He saw in the Spirit for the first time, but it took a release from God. My friends, listen to me. Every one of you, listen closely. If you would allow God to release who he is in light of your situation right now, you would see that there's more with us than there is with them. you would see that the odds aren't even fair. You would see that the supernatural hills and mountains of God that where you're at are surrounded by the horses and chariots of fire and the servants of the Almighty God on your behalf. The problem is we have allowed things to come into our life that haven't let the release of God come in. But the good news is this is the year of release. The Bible said that God allowed Elisha to do what he said. And they brought the Arameans in, led them to Samaria. When they opened their eyes, they fed them, and they left full and free. Now listen to this. Chapter 6, verse 24. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, this is another king of Aram. The first one knew better, but the next one came along. The first trial the enemy will send to you, you can overcome it with power, but the enemy is going to send you more trials. Do you understand that? I don't want to hear that, Pastor. Well, as long as your heart's beating, the enemy is going to send you trials. And if you think that the trial you've been in or going through or about to enter is the last one for you, it means because we're going to have a nice memorial service here for you because you're going to die. The enemy's always going to send trials. You say, well, that's discouraging. No, it's not discouraging when you learn to live with spiritual eyes where you can see the odds. It's not discouraging at all. It didn't discourage Elisha. It didn't cause him to quit. It didn't cause him to walk away. It didn't cause him to give up because he had release in his life. The Bible said that Ben-Hadad came and mobilized his entire army. Your next one may be bigger than your last one. Everyone went, oh, brother. But let's look at the end of the story before you say that. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels. That's 2 pounds of silver. And a quarter of a cab of seed pods, that's dove's dung, that's a half of a pint, sold for 5 shekels. And the king of Israel, as he was passing by, he saw a couple ladies that had given up and quit because of the trial that Samaria was in. And one had taken the other's child, and they'd killed a child and cannibalized that child, saying the next day they would the other ladies. And this next woman said, no, I can't do it. And now there was an incredible fight over the most horrendous, horrific, horrible situation. And the king gave up and quit too. Everyone had given up. They were tired. They were surrounded. The enemy seemed like they were doing good. But everybody in Samaria was starving to death. They were eating donkeys' heads and they were eating horses and everything they had was gone, and there was no food left. And they believed God had quit them, and the king did it. He gave up. He got tired of all the things. He got tired of the prophet Elisha having confidence in God, and he got mad at him. And he said, if he's alive this time tomorrow, I'll be cursed because I'm going to have him killed. God doesn't even hear us anymore. Let me tell you something about fear, and let me tell you something about the bondage that people are living in the world today that look at the circumstances around us instead of having the release of the eyes of God. You're going to become embittered toward the situation that you're living in instead of invigorated by the hope that's coming. Now, I understand this is tough preaching, but throughout the year, believe me, we're going to be receiving the release of God, and there's going to be all kinds of times to shout and dance. God's going to show us, and at the end of this message, there's going to be times to shout and dance. But let me lay the groundwork. Don't be those who give up just before the release. Don't do it. Don't be. I know everyone there in that city felt like I've had enough. How many can say there's been times in my life, maybe even today, I've had enough? Everyone. I don't know anyone. If your hand wasn't up because you're too weak to do it. I've had enough. But let me explain something to you. That's you. That's not God. That's you, not God. And all of a sudden, the word of God said that the king was going to kill Elisha, because Elisha was sitting in his house and the elders were sitting with him. Listen to this. Elisha stayed in the presence of wisdom. He didn't get out in the folly of the conversations of people around. And the word of God came to Elisha and said, the king's coming and he's going to kill you. And Elisha told the elders that were there with him, look, this murderous king is coming who's lost his faith. And what I want you to do is hold the door shut when he comes, and when the messenger comes to tell me that the king's coming, just give him a minute until the king gets here too. The Bible says that they did. And in chapter 7, verse 1, this is the title of the message this morning. I want you to listen to this. Elisha said, in the presence of the king, when the king had given up, when other people were tired in the battle, when they're about ready to say it's all over and we'll just become part of the Syrian nation, we'll just live the best we can with what we have left. If you've said that, look at me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus in love. I mean that, but I rebuke that in the name of Jesus in love. You're not going to live with what you have left, and you're not going to live under the confine of the current economic condition of the world. I know it's going to get worse, but I know that God is going to do releasing this year in the life of believers. God's going to refine His church. And in the middle of the battles that you're going to encounter, in the middle of the sieges, when the enemy surrounds you, when he brings his whole army, when he brings everything he can against you to shut your mouth and to stop the contagious praise and worship that will fill a house that allows the Holy Spirit to bring deliverance and release into the lives of people. My friends, if you'll hold on and not give up, you're not going to live on the leftovers. You're going to have the power that God meant for you to have and the joy and the provision that the enemy's tried to take. This is the year of release. Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow. Now when I was practicing this, reading this, and I say practice, just reading the word over and over and over to get it in my spirit. When I said about this time tomorrow, I had a picture of me running around this church. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't feel like it. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't have the goosebumps or the tingles, but I'm going to follow what God showed me in my heart. I walked around this church, and I brought a contagious spirit to you that said this, have hope, because about this time tomorrow, have hope, about this time tomorrow, have hope, because about this time tomorrow, have hope. For about this time tomorrow, when it is as bad as it is and as horrible as it is and as impossible as it is, he said about this time tomorrow. Now listen to me. They were starving. They were cannibalizing. They were eating dove's dung. They were eating the heads of donkeys. They were spending fortunes for something they didn't have. And let me tell you something else. In the vision God gave me, people started following me. Glory to God. I didn't have to ask them. They just got up and started doing it. And I didn't ask you, but you're doing it. And I'm telling you this about this time tomorrow. About this time tomorrow, he said, in a short time, in a miraculous way, in a way that you can't do, in a way that's absolutely impossible, in a way that can't be changed. About this time tomorrow, he said, I'm going to do something. I don't care if you don't have the feeling. If you believe it's the truth, stand and worship him. At least do that. Stand and praise Him. Give Him glory, because He said, about this time tomorrow, I'm going to do something that you can't believe is possible. About this time tomorrow, I'm going to do something that doesn't seem logical. About this time tomorrow, I'm going to do something that's greater than you can imagine. About this time tomorrow, listen to me. This is what I saw. I didn't ask you to do this, but God showed me this. As I begin to encircle, people begin to follow inside. It wasn't because you felt it. It's because we're acting on the Word of God. We're acting on the Word of God. We're trusting in the Word of God. We're depending on the Word of God. We're believing the Word of God. He said, about this time tomorrow. He said, listen to me. About this time tomorrow. Listen, don't go back to your seats. Stay in the circle. He said, about this time tomorrow, a sea of flour will sell for a shekel. That means 7.5 quarts of flour is going to sell for 1 shekel. When they were paying 5 shekels for a half a pint of dove's dung, when they were paying 2 pounds of silver for a donkey's head, he said by this time tomorrow, he said that 2 seas, 14 quarts of barley will sell for 1 shekel. He said that there's enormous provision that's going to come, that blessings are going to come. You're going to begin to receive in the name of Jesus. My friends, listen to me. Listen closely now as you're walking. There was one that stood there by the gate. He was the gatekeeper. My friends, you've got to kick the words of death out of your mind. Do you hear me? If you hear me, say amen. You've got to kick the words of death out of your spirit. That one sitting at the gate said, you know what? If God could do this, it's impossible. He's saying there's impossibilities with God. But I'm here to tell you that the prophet rebuked him in the name of Jesus.
This is the battle of Jericho part 2.
This is the battle of Jericho part 2. Keep walking. Listen to me. He said this. He said this to those words. Against those words of death. Now listen to me. If the words of death, that this is impossible, is in you right now, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand right now. It's okay if the enemy's saying that's not possible. Lift your hand and say, I rebuke the spirit of death. I rebuke the words of death right now in the name of Jesus. I bind them in the name of Jesus. I rebuke them in Jesus' name. I rebuke that word. In Jesus' name. Let me tell you why. Those people, that man that held on to that word, lost his life. The prophet said, because you won't allow, listen to me. If you're listening, listen closely. Because you will not allow release in your life, you're going to die. And he's talking about a spiritual death for us today. My friends, listen. There was not a sign of a cracker when he said this. The prophet didn't know how God was going to do it. He had no idea except one thing. He acted on the word, and I have no idea how God is going to bring release to you. I have no concept of how he's going to. But my friends, listen to me. God used 4 lepers who were the outcast, unworthy, sick dogs of the community to go out and find that while they were listening to the word of release, God was rebuking the enemy and they heard. Now listen to me. Do you remember? Do you remember when Gehazi looked up and God opened his eyes, what did he see? He saw horses and fiery chariots, didn't he? If he did, say amen. Listen to me. The Syrians were in their camp, and the Bible says that they heard the sound of chariots and horses, and they began to run for their life, and they left their gold, and they left their silver, and they left their food, and they left their battle armament. The Bible says it was strewn all the way down the road, and all that Israel had to do was go and pick it up. That That's it. Go and pick it up. This is the year of release. Here's the word I speak to you. And I'm talking about a short period of time. If you're able to just reach up and say, Lord, I want release in my life. If you are right now, raise your hand. I've got something for you right now. Listen. About this time tomorrow. About this time tomorrow. When the world says that's absolutely impossible. When we're paying 5 shekels for a half a pint of dove's dung, 1 shekel will buy 7 quarts of flour and 14 quarts of barley. There's blessing, God, in Jesus' name. I'm raising my hand to you right now, Father God. Listen to me, church, about this time tomorrow, in the name of Jesus. About this time tomorrow, a sea of flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seas of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Don't be the voice. Don't be the voice of death. Be the voice of trust in the Almighty God right now. The Bible says that God brought it to pass. Listen to this. In chapter 7, verse 9. Then they said to each other, we're not right doing this, these 4 lepers sitting here enjoying all this. We've got to go back and tell other people. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I'm telling you today, this is a day of good news. The enemy is abandoning those things that he's held on to in your life. Now, here's what I want you to do. If you were here and said, I want prayer, physical prayer right now. I want you to come up here on top of this platform. Hurry. Come right now in Jesus' name.